Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book provides a narrative description of the primary tool in this work, which is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great advantage for over 17 years to help me improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and turn any negative emotional state into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us has been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Just click on it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through the worksheet process or given testimonials about how the active application of that process has positively impacted their life. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Drago and Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope you do that soon and often because it most often leads people to have questions or comments or testimonials. And if you do that, you can call us at 563-999-3581 and press 1. When you do that, it'll put a little question mark by your phone number and I'll announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you could send an email to jeannie@whyagain.org. Or you can email me directly at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And if you're unable to listen to the live show, you can send an email. We'll do our best to address your comments or questions, and then you can have access to it in the archive. There are over 10 years' worth of archives available. And, again, another valuable resource that's absolutely free. This year we're going through the Course in Miracles lessons, the workbook lessons, and this is the 195th day of the year. Today's lesson reads, Love is the way I will walk, I walk in gratitude. And again, there's a lot of paragraphs of commentary. It's somewhat convoluted at times to my way of thinking, but the essence of it is if we focus on the truth of our lives and not through a negative filter, we will have the gratitude. And in the fourth paragraph of the commentary, it says, love makes no comparisons. And gratitude can only be sincere if it be joined to love. And they talk quite a bit about how, as humans, we've been conditioned to think, well, we should be happy because there are other people who have a lot less than we do. And it talks about the insanity of comparison. Love makes no comparisons. And we have gratitude when we thank our Creator for one thing alone, and that is that we are connected to every living thing and therefore connected to creation itself. So if that's the root of my gratitude, things flow. The Course in Miracles experiment by Pam Grout, lesson 195, is titled, Have You Claimed Your Gifts Today? She quotes Joseph Campbell as saying, find a place inside where there's joy, and the joy will burn out the pain. Pam writes, I know, I probably sound like an ad for a bank. Come on in, open up a new checking account and claim your free ice chest. But that's not the kind of gifts to which I refer. I'm talking about the continuous gifts bestowed by the natural world. As I was driving home from pickleball this morning, I noticed a brilliant scarlet branch on a maple tree just blocks from my home. It literally made me gasp. Every day I am presented with unbelievably beautiful gifts. Stars that are billions of years old, fuzzy caterpillars crawling up across my path, hydrangeas, dragonflies. When I bring my attention to anything in nature, I'm able to step out of the prison of conceptualized thinking. I'm able to rest and notice a state of connectedness with all things. These gifts are endless when I take time to look. Even in inner cities, the gift of breaking dawn signals the possibilities in a new day. So, sure, material gifts like ice chests and toasters and, for that matter, new Michael Kors purses are okay, but the gifts I claim are those that remind me I live in a galaxy that's one of a gazillion galaxies, and that each of these gazillion galaxies has hundreds of billions of stars, and enough gas and dust to make hundreds of billions more. So lesson 195, love is the way I walk in gratitude, asks me to step up and claim my gifts, to rejoice unceasingly in my inseparable connection to all living things. So that's our Course in Miracles lesson for today and the commentary from Pam Grout's Course in Miracles experiment book, lesson 195. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. And we have 50 minutes to have conversation. Call in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. How can we support you today? Today's Wednesday, which means last night we had a support group. We had six attendees plus myself. We had two actual worksheets and a third person who did quite a bit of emotional processing. And I would say that both of the worksheets were quite powerful and stirred up a lot of things for our members. And if you have any questions about that, give us a call, 563-999-3581. I know that we've had a number of people who've attended our support groups. When we began them, they were in person. And since the COVID coronavirus restrictions happened a year ago in March, we've been doing both of them online. And over the course of the last 17 years of doing this support group, we've had a lot of people who come and listen and observe and and never do a worksheet out loud, and maybe never do a worksheet. And yet there's something about the community, about the wonderful energy of being around people who are committed to doing their own work rather than rather than think they can avoid their own issues by either comparing themselves to others or judging others or thinking they're going to fix others. So it's a rather unique experience in our support groups where the premise is everybody is there to learn about these tools and learn how they might apply them in their life. And it ends up being a very, I would say, nourishing atmosphere. Not always easy, but starting 17 years ago, I did it for basically the first 10 years, one night a week. And it was such a highlight of my week, even though I was donating my time to it. It became such a highlight of my week that I decided I wanted to do it 2 days a week. And so as difficult as that might be for some people to comprehend, the benefits have been accruing. And I think last night's a wonderful testimonial to how only two people actually did worksheets, and yet everybody on the call was moved and or got their own work done. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, we have another one coming up tomorrow, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time, most Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we'd be happy to have you join us or forward the information to somebody that you think might be interested or might benefit from it. I was working with somebody earlier today who is completely in a parallel to the work that one of our members did last night. This person is completely concerned that the more they do their own work, the more they learn to take 100% responsibility for their own emotions, and the more they move away from participating in gossip or blame or comparison, the more distance they find between themselves and some friends and family members. And the question for some people when they tap into work like this is, am I going to be the loneliest person on the planet if I keep doing this work? Because at some point in time, most people who tap into this work for the first, the first couple years of their doing it, they learn about healthy communication. They learn about healthier relationships, and they say they want that. I want healthy relationships. I want respectful communication. And then when they start implementing that in their life, they realize that more and more people that are in their lives don't want any part of it. And so they're faced with either dropping the tools and the work, or they're faced with dramatic changes in their relationships. And it's a pattern, a very common pattern, that for some people resonates a lot of fear about being alone, fear about not ever having any friends. And the true dynamic that's taking place is that when people come to work like this and start actually honestly doing an assessment of their relationships, they find that most of their relationships are not very healthy, that the people in their relationships are not actually focusing on their own emotions. They're not actually invested in ending gossip. They're not actually invested in being respectful. And they're more concerned with running from their own internal pain, fear, and sadness than they are taking responsibility for and dismantling their own pain, fear, and sadness. So the good news is the more people, and I have quite a history with this kind of work, the more people actually do the work, the better their lives get. Even if in that process they end up leaving or having older relationships leave them and basically in some ways starting anew. The way that can be beneficial is that when you start anew, you start from a strength within yourself, with an understanding of how you're the one causing your emotions, and the benefit of having tools that allow you to actually work with your emotions, actually read the energies and the information that's available for you when you have emotions. I'm reminded of people who sometimes in their work, and they identify themselves as therapists or psychologists or social worker, and somehow or another they've got it in their head that they're supposed to be unemotional. They're supposed to be able to go through intense situations and not show emotion. And I think it's a complete mistake, you know, especially as a therapist, to try and present yourself as unemotional, or to even set, you know, as a model, set that as a goal, because blocking my emotions, denying my emotions, suppressing my emotions leaves me unable to learn the lessons or unable to read the information available every time my system goes through an emotional response. Guy Finley likes to talk about how the lessons we need to learn in life ride into our lives on the back of the events that we don't want. And the importance of a lesson for me is directly proportional to how much I don't want the event. So the more I don't want an event in my life, the more important the lesson is for me. And that's a tough one for most people to swallow. So when I deny and suppress my emotions, or I try and act like I'm not feeling, or I'm not going to let anybody else see that I'm sad or that I've got anger up or that I'm feeling emotional hurt, the more I block myself from being able to access the lesson, access the information, and use it to my advantage in navigating life. I remember reading in the book Jesus, My Autobiography, they spoke so directly about how your emotional energy system is your guidance system. And with whatever you're doing, if you're actually tuned into how you're feeling emotionally, and you're feeling positive and loving and respectful, you're probably headed in the right direction. But if you're tapped into how you're feeling and you're feeling any of the negative emotions, you're definitely not headed in the right direction. You're not headed in the right direction with your thoughts, your words, or your actions. And some might say, you know, it can't be that simple, and often it is just that simple. So we're encouraging people with these tools to be willing to see, to feel, to hear, to give voice to their emotions without necessarily being driven by the impulse that might arise when they have an emotion. You know, there's the tremendous benefit to developing that perspective of the watcher, to be able to watch your thoughts and realize you're not your thoughts. You are not your judgments. That who you really are is this beyond words amazing capacity for awareness. You are, as Dale Ellen Hoffman would say, you are the eye behind the eye. I think he quotes St. Francis of Assisi, who said, when you are going out to be on your spiritual path, when you want to find God, when you want to connect with the world, what you're looking for in those moments is what is looking. There is no separation. This is part of the Course in Miracles lesson for today, that the value that you have, anything that you have of value that you could easily experience gratitude for when you tap into it, comes from the realization that we are connected to every living thing. It's in the sixth paragraph. It says, we thank our Father for one thing alone. There's only one thing that we need to be grateful for, and that is that we are connected to every living thing. Now, it says that we are separate from no living thing, and therefore we are one with the Creator. But the regulatory speech would have me just state it in a positive way that says, I'm grateful for being alive and being connected to all of creation. Now, of course, everything is in scale, so on one level, I observe myself as being separate from my brother or sister. I observe myself as being one of two people in a relationship. I observe myself as having perhaps an entirely different interpretation of and therefore experience of a life event that unfolds when I'm with, you know, family and friends. And yet, what's also absolutely true is that there is more similarity between me and every other person that's ever existed than there is difference. And one of the ways I've said that in the past is to say, the only significant difference between me and any person that's ever lived or ever will live is the degree to which we are able to live from the realization that we're all the same. So each of us is going to create an experience, a reality, an experience of life that's different from every other person. And we get closer and closer to connection with whoever we can relate to when both of us realize that we're all the same. That we might be able to perceive ourselves as separate. We might be able to perceive ourselves as separate sparks of the same light, and yet everyone and everything is just another aspect of creation, of the creative energy expressing in form. And thereby, I open the door to recognize if all of this is just energy, and if I'm like every other person that's ever lived or ever will live, then my emotions, which are created inside me, can be very, very useful information about what's going on inside of me. And anytime I have a negative emotion, I might want to benefit from picking up a reality management worksheet. And in the first three steps, mapping out exactly what it is that my mind is telling me is causing my upset. And mapping out exactly what my mind is telling me needs to happen and change in order for me to feel better or safe or happy, etc. And when I do that, I set myself up to enter this keyway, a pathway to what's actually causing my upset, a pathway of self-exploration. And the keyway is opened when I cancel the goal, when I put aside everything that my mind is telling me, all of the pictures that formulate the perception that's registering in my mind, and I take all of my identification energy off of the goal. I cancel the goal. And I recognize that no matter how much my mind has been busy trying to analyze this or that, compare this or that, judge this or that, I still remain in the mental emotional upset. So I recognize that everything I've tried to do to feel better has failed. And so I throw it open to have access to some level of connection, some level of insight, some level of genius, some level of higher intelligence that can show me something about myself and the pattern I'm stuck in that I can't get if I keep thinking about it. That's the genius of the process called the Reality Management Worksheet. That's the genius of the process of forgiveness from the ancient Aramaic, which is to cancel or dismantle. As oversimplistic as it might seem to some people, it is the single most powerful tool I've discovered in 47 years of doing therapy. So, if you have any questions about that, or you have a worksheet you would like to help have some help doing or mapping out, give us a call, 563-999-3581. I had a rather productive day yesterday where I did two interviews for the Journey's Dream podcast. One of them is a woman by the name of Dr. Gail Brenner. And Dr. Gail Brenner wrote a book titled The End of Self-Help. And someone might ask, why would you want to interview somebody who writes a book about the end of self-help? You seem to be doing a lot of talking about self-help. Gail's book is titled The End of Self-Help, Discovering Peace and Happiness Right at the Heart of Your Messy, Scary, Brilliant Life. Well, the essence of why I would want to interview somebody like that is that she's a psychologist, and she had lots of her own therapy, and it wasn't very productive in the big picture. And then she tapped into Buddhism, and then she tapped into some other spiritual paths, and she realized, you know, there's a lot more that can happen here if we're not stuck with the psychosocial model of therapy. And so she now does online groups, and she's written a book, she's written I mean, if you go searching for her, you can spend days watching her YouTube videos. She's got so many different interviews she's done that are posted on YouTube. So that was one of the interviews from yesterday. And the other interview from yesterday is Martin Whiteley from Australia. And this gentleman's a real trooper because he miscalculated the time. And he had me call him. It was 5 o'clock my time, and he thought it would be 8 a.m. his time. Turned out to be 6 a.m. his time. But he got up, and he did the interview anyway. And he wrote a book titled The Overprescribing – I have to type it in here because I've forgotten the – the rest of the title. It's basically about how there's been so much overprescribing of medications in Australia, specifically for the overprescribing madness. What's driving Australia's mental illness epidemic? And this is a little bit more targeted book than the book by Robert Whittaker, which is titled Anatomy of an Epidemic, which is about the mental health medications and the psychiatric medications in America, also worldwide. But this is more specifically targeted to Australia, and lots of it related to the attention deficit disorder diagnosis and the stimulants. And this gentleman, Martin Whiteley, was also a politician. And so he's got that systems perspective. And over in Australia, they have a national healthcare system, and what they decided is it's going to be really efficient for us to have the vast majority of medications that are prescribed come from primary care physicians. And the only difficulty with that is that when you have almost no training as a primary care physician about mental health issues and psychiatry, and then you're really limited in what the tools you have in your toolkit and the knowledge you have about options to those tools. So he said they've got people who have any mental health issue who show up at their primary care physician's office and have a 15-minute visit and then leave with a medication. And that's the extent of the assessment and the teaching and the tools, and it's led to an epidemic of overprescribing. So if you know somebody who is getting told they have this symptom or that symptom or this disorder or that disorder, and what they need is a medication, it's a really good idea to be the bug in their ear or the bird on their shoulder that's telling them about the possibility of a second, third, or fifth opinion. And there's a growing body of tools and information on the internet because people have been hitting the wall, hitting the dead end that comes from just prescribing medications to tamp down symptoms and not resolve anything about the underlying cause of the pain, the fear, the sadness, the hurt, the obsessive compulsive issues, the hoarding, the anger, the depression, the anxiety, etc. One of the places that you can go to find out more information about that is journeysdream.org and /podcast, and you can get access to the 60-some interviews we've done over the past year, specifically designed around raising awareness about mental health issues and challenges and how they can be transformational They don't always have to be tragic. Another resource is Same Here Global, all one word, sameheareglobal.org. And that's a new hub that's out there. It's got lots of stories of people that have had mental health challenges and found holistic, integrative, functional medicine approaches to looking for the cause of this difficulty or unproductive pattern and helping people learn the skills and the tools and the techniques that can either be successful without medication or can supplement the medication and empower a person to take charge of his or her own mental and emotional life. So, if you know somebody, if you've read an article on a podcast or a blog, if you've read a book recently, and you think, wow, this would be a great person for Dr. Tim to interview on Mindshifters Radio and or Journey Stream, please let me know. Email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. There are two other interviews coming up this week. One of them is with Lauren Spiro, S-P-I-R-O. And Lauren is a person who had her own, it would probably be more accurately described, a spiritual crisis. And it got labeled a mental health crisis, and she got labeled as psychotic and schizophrenic. And she talks about her journey out of that mislabeling and the integration of this vision that she had and this spiritual experience she had. So if you know of somebody like that, if you know somebody who's developing a new brain scan technique or light therapy or color therapy for treatment of mental health issues or any new treatment for trauma, I am grateful every time I hear from somebody who recommends a topic, a person, a technique, a book. And you can call me at 563-999-3581 and drop that on me right now, or send me an email, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. So, we have about 20 minutes left. How can we support you? What's on your mind? What from the range of topics we've either put out there for today or in the past 10 years might be useful for you to discuss in the next 20 minutes? 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1. We have 9 people on the call and nobody in the chat room and plenty of time for a conversation. I was reading the other day from the Brain Pickings about the 10 commandments from Bertrand Russell. The beginning, the first one is, do not feel absolutely certain of anything. And I was talking about how that is so in line with question everything and the importance in this work of just learning the tools for yourself and being vigilant about any tendency to put anybody up on a pedestal. Because as I was mentioning earlier in the intro, the only significant difference between you and any other person who has ever lived or ever will live is the degree to which you are able to live from the realization that we are all the same. And every person, every teacher you've ever heard, every book author, every, whether it's Byron Katie or it's Ganga G or Papa G, or every person is just a person. Every person has clay feet. Every person has their own issues and can get triggered at a moment's notice. So the value is not in the person or the teacher. The value is in the teaching. And if you find somebody who is showing you a path, they are not the path. One of the people who attends our groups is a very artistic and poetic person, and she wrote this thing. I probably won't do it justice, but she says she's met a lot of people over the years who have found a piece of the truth. And many of those people, eventually, they work with it and they teach it, and they lose sight of the fact that it's just a piece of the truth, and they begin to think that they have the truth. And then over time, they begin to think that they are the truth. And that is a recipe for disaster. So, you know, it's not the truth. It's not, and as we've discussed from a variety of different ways, wisdom cannot be possessed. It can only be accessed, and it's accessible for every human being. Every spark of awareness can get access to wisdom. There is no one person who is wise, who holds wisdom, and yet any person can access wisdom. When you think you've got wisdom, or you think you've got the truth, you've just created a trap for yourself. You're stuck, you're locked in. And as our friend in the support group would say, when you run into somebody who's talking about a piece of the truth, be careful, because it may not be too long if they keep teaching it before they believe it's the truth, it's the only truth. And then eventually they might cross that threshold to where they are thinking that they are the truth. And that's real dangerous, because that has you believing separation. Putting someone on a pedestal is just a strengthening and a reinforcement of separation, the dream of separation. Guy Finley also says that most of your negative emotional states, your pain, your fear, your sadness, are the bitter fruits of a comparative life. And that's exactly what they're talking about in today's Course in Miracles lesson. How silly is it for you to think that you're going to be grateful for what you have because it's more than somebody else, because there are other people who suffer more than you do? And although the words in the commentary were a little bit convoluted, so I didn't want to, you know, read the whole thing. If you go through and wade through it, essentially that's the message. It's equally insane to fall in gratitude or to fail to be in gratitude for what you have as it is to be in gratitude because somebody else is suffering more than you. So to be awake, to be aware, to see things as they actually are, is to be grateful for your life, for your awareness, for the breath of life itself. And the more we live in that space, the more we recognize that that experience of existence, that breath of life, is the same in us as it is in a flower, as it is in every person we've ever interacted with. And if you want to talk about differences, the only difference that makes any sense whatsoever is the difference between those who understand we're all the same and those who believe we're separate. Because it's my beliefs, it's what I choose to focus my conscious awareness upon, that creates my experience of life. And again, this lesson is calling us to observe and focus our attention differently and question everything and awaken to the realization that the gift of life is given equally to all. And that gratitude that is generated by awareness of that truth is the only true gratitude. Gratitude that comes from comparing what I have as being more or better or different than what somebody else has. Aren't I grateful that I am not suffering? Well, in that same statement, we've also got, oh boy, I'm so grateful that someone else is suffering and that I have more than somebody else. And that level of insanity is a trap. And so we are hoping that with the willingness to question everything and the willingness to use every negative emotional state I experience as a trigger for me to pick up the tool and dismantle that experience, that set of perceptions, that set of beliefs, I can move closer and closer to the realization of my connectedness to all life. And as the Course in Miracles lesson for today says, that's the one thing. Paragraph 4, you do not offer God your gratitude because your brother is more slave than you. Nor could you sanely be enraged if your brother seems freer than you. Love makes no comparisons, and gratitude can only be sincere if it is joined to love. So, with the willingness to use a tool, every time I have a negative emotional state, I can clarify my perception. I can move closer and closer to the realization that we're all the same. And in that space, I open up gratitude for the breath of life within me in all conditions. So we have 12 minutes left. We have time for a call, comment, a question, a testimonial, 563-999-3581. How can we support you? What's on your mind today? How would you like to interrupt or redirect this monologue? 563-999-3581. I think one of the people who did the worksheet last night had one of the more powerful realizations that I've seen come from a worksheet in a while. And one of the other members noted that one of the worksheets ended up being a hydra. A hydra is simply a word for a worksheet that I start out working on my disappointment or my disgust at what someone else is doing. And then halfway down the worksheet, I realize I have sadness or anger toward myself. And then as I cancel the goal and I see some connection from my past life experiences and the beliefs I've downloaded to other emotions in my life, now I've got three or four other worksheets to do. And so a Hydra worksheet is a worksheet that the more I progress through the worksheet, the more different and varied worksheets come to my attention that I would benefit from doing on different topics or different emotions on the same topic or different people related to the same interaction. And the Hydra simply being a reference to the mythical creature that when you cut off one head, two or more grow back in its place. So, you know, unlike the Hydra, where we say don't cut off the head of the Hydra, with the worksheets we say do go ahead and do as many different worksheets as you can, sparked by the initial worksheet, because every time I'm simply learning more about what I'm hiding from myself. And why would I hide something from myself? Well, because some part of my mind is feeling that it's being protective, and it's lived through and analyzed what's happening and said to me, hey, Tim, this is too much for you. Don't worry. We're going to block it from your awareness. And then quite literally, my own mind energy from a divided mind, part of my mind thinking that it's being productive, is actively using its energy to block my ability to be aware of what I just lived through. Not just what I just lived through, but actually block me from being aware of what I made it mean and what I downloaded about myself as a belief. And one of the things about us as human beings that's quite interesting is, and Michael Rice says it this way, the strongest resonant energy in my system, the strongest resonant energy that I'm not aware of is what's going to drive my behavior. So I might consciously be aware that I'm a psychologist and I have a reputation for being level-headed and even-handed and emotionally stable and patient and loving. And that's what I'm consciously aware of, and that's what I think I want to do as I interact with my family members or with my patients or with a vendor for my office, for one of the services that's at my office. And then I find myself shutting down, pouting, raging, fighting back tears, and I'm completely unable to see how any of those reactions are coming from me. And my mind will show me evidence. It will show me sights and sounds and images that will, in quotes, prove to me someone or something outside of me is causing this energy, this emotion, this behavior. How could that happen when my conscious logical mind says, I'm a psychologist, I am really well versed in some excellent tools, I am desiring to be loving and respectful, and something less than that comes out of me? How does that happen? It happens because whatever energy is resonating in me the most strongly that I'm not able to see will be the thing that drives my behavior. And this is why so many of us that think of ourselves as independent and autonomous and self-directed end up in really unpleasant, unproductive situations. It's because we're carrying around memories, judgments about ourselves and our lives that we're blocking from our conscious awareness. And every time those energies get resonated, if they happen to be the strongest resonant energy in our field, even though we consciously don't want this to be the case, those negative energies drive our behavior. So I have to be willing at deeper and deeper levels to pick up the tools. I have to be willing at deeper and deeper levels to live in the 100% responsibility pattern. And to set as a goal for myself to get increasingly more and more aware of what I might have hidden from myself, because some part of me might have labeled it too sad, too scary, too painful. And how do I do that? I do that by moving into the trust that if I've already experienced it, it cannot be too much for me to see. If I've already lived through it, I've survived it, I've labeled it, I've cataloged it, and decided it's too much for me, and then hidden it from myself, I've handled it 17 ways till Sunday. As Guy Finley says, there is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. It cannot be bad for me to explore every nook and cranny of my unconscious mind. Now, it would be hard to live a life, a conscious, active life, if I set out with that as my goal. So I don't set out with that as my goal. I set out with whatever daily goals I set, with the intention of being loving, with the intention of being respectful, with the intention of being awake and aware to my fellow beings of brilliance and light. And then when I find myself acting in any way that's less than that, I turn the focus inside rather than look outside to figure out who's responsible for my anger. I assume that the cause is at the source. And since the source is in me, the cause is in me. And so one upset at a time, one little twitch of hesitation, one little irritation, one moment of pouting, one moment of rage at a time, I accept the challenge to explore what is it in me that's giving rise to that negative emotion. And if I do that long enough over time, consistently, I'll eventually learn more and more about what are these life events that I have experienced that I labeled as too much? What are these beliefs about myself and the world around me that I downloaded when I was younger, when I didn't have the resources I have now, when it felt like the world was too oppressive and too scary? I will uncover more and more of what I'm hiding from myself. I love one of the ways Guy Finley says, he says, it's possible to look at everything that happens in my life as though life was saying to me, hey, Tim, would you like to know what is keeping you from knowing me and loving me more deeply? Life itself. God, light, love, life itself, creation, is asking me. Or I could choose to look at it as though every time something happens that is something I don't want and I've got any kind of a negative emotion, I could choose to look at it as life presenting me an opportunity to learn what it is that's inside of me that's keeping me from knowing and loving life more deeply. All in line with the fact that there is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. Every upset I experience is an invitation to learn about myself and dismantle what's not true. So, that's the end of our time together. I am back again tomorrow, probably. And I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff that we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim, and thank you so much for playing those pre-recordings for us for the last 2 days.
Well, you're entirely welcome and deserving, and I hope it was a restful, peaceful time with family.
It was awesome. We actually had both grandchildren, a 9-year-old and a not quite 1-year-old, from 6:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the evening both days, and so it was full, and it was great. So thank you.
You're
getting ready to head off to Kansas
show.
City right after the show. Thank you.
All right. Travel well.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, July the 14th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And thanks again for being patient and cooperative that we did two pre-recordings instead of live shows. But it would have been a little challenging to have broken off from the day with two grandbabies. And we had an awesome time. We're headed after the show, going to Kansas City to visit for a couple, 3 days with Michael J. And then we'll be heading down to Heartland. And then on Monday morning early, heading back to Bristol, Virginia. So we'll probably play pre-recorded shows again next Monday, maybe Monday and Tuesday, depending on how our journey goes, because we'll be traveling those days. So thank you very much. And it's been awesome to be able to spend time with another portion of our family that we haven't seen in over a year. And welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Your Heart, and welcome, everybody. Honored and delighted that you're here. And, yeah, it's been a really sweet journey. It reminds me, you know, after 40 years on the road and then 2 years ago moving into a home where, you know, we put our heads on the same pillows every night, living somewhere. It's pretty awesome. And this journey reminds me of, while we enjoyed being on the road, it's a different kind of challenge. So I'm actually enjoying being without that challenge. I'm enjoying all the time that it gives us to wake up in the morning and be in our own home and not have to be, oh, we got to pack up the car. Oh, there's 2 hours of the day gone. Oh, we got a 12-hour drive. Well, let's do a long day, then spend the night. And it's really nice to just live somewhere. And nice to have the space. You know, we're developing more and more tools to support and extend the work on a larger scale globally. You know, the fact that we've gotten this codependence to interdependence communication intensive put together, we couldn't have done that on the road. And so that 90-hour video package, all the teaching, all the process work, all the questions and answers is just such a complete, awesome package based in really steeping people in the idea of it's through our relationships that we heal. There's no, you know, people will talk about this, you know, this relationship needs healing. No, there's no such thing as a relationship that needs healing. Every relationship is a perfect creation and a perfect reflection. And the individuals who are willing in a relationship that appears to be diseased will heal themselves. And those that aren't will run away and say, no, I'm not doing that. And, you know, everybody has a right to do what everybody do. And, of course, there's one of the blessings of having chosen to do this work. And when I say chosen, it was in part chosen, in part was kind of like the universe gave me a push, is that this beautiful line that comes out of his name's not coming to me. Anyway, he says, we teach best that which we most need to learn. Bach. And say it again, sweetie.
Bach.
Yeah, Richard Bach. We teach best that which we most need to learn. And I see, you know, just day by day by day, you know, if I look over the last 50 years, the most important learning that I've done has been the last year. It's just been amazing and awesome. And I've thought that so many times. And, you know, I'm sure that next year I'm going to go, yeah, and wow, what came through this year. So it's pretty pretty amazing. And, you know, the beauty of the world is how it's so perfectly set up that if there's something we haven't resolved, somebody's going to come and kick us in a limitation. And when they do, we're going to tend to think that the reason we're experiencing this is because of them, and all we need to do is leave, and then everything will be okay. And of course, if we do that, then we get to find somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else to do it with, and We stop disconnecting. We stop, you know, exiting communication and stay through the process. And in doing so, we get to learn what we need to learn. And, of course, we, the most efficient way, at least I've found, I think Richard Bach was right, is you teach it. And then you go, oh, that's what that means. So, anyway, pretty awesome, pretty amazing. And, of course, our granddaughter, she's going to have been circling the Earth for a year next month. And to have just met her 4 days ago. And Jeannie had an easy time connecting with her. I mean, yesterday, actually, Jeannie's going around rubbing her arms. Her arms are sore from holding her because she just would not let go. She glommed onto Jeannie, and that was it. She was holding on for dear life. I probably got yesterday, what, maybe 10 minutes. But this morning, it was kind of neat. We went out for breakfast with my daughter and the two girls. And this morning, the little one gave both Jeannie and I about equal time coming to us. So it feels like we've got a connection established on the level. So that's pretty sweet, pretty amazing. For those who know Krista, she's doing well. She's a nurse here in St. Louis, and has two beautiful young daughters, and she's just an amazing mom. And so for all of those who know her, she's doing well. She and her husband are rocking along. Looks like life is good, although she says that the hospital is difficult. She has 4 12-hour days and then an 8-hour day each week. And it's pretty intense, but she seems to be moving with it and more enjoying her life. So it's sweet to watch her. So our reading, we haven't done reading for a few days, so let's go in and finish the final chapter on choosing teachers. And then we'll tomorrow go into transitions. So choosing teachers. When people who need their daily dose of abuse are confronted, their response is usually the familiar, I thought that was the way it was supposed to be. Their self-put-downs are cradled in guilt and the haunting thought they deserve to be abused. And, you know, if you've ever found yourself in that position, I'm going to offer you a different thought. That belief is a total thought disorder, a lie, and simply needs to be changed. The truth is, as Dr. Tim says, we are made of the stuff called love. That's the truth about every one of us. And our purpose is to be here to express that state of being. And you deserve to experience yourself as that and to express that and receive that expression from others for only one simple reason: the Creator put the breath of life in you. That's the only requirement. Nothing else is needed. Richard listened attentively and appeared to absorb each idea. This is such shocking information, Michael. The part that's hard to believe is how oblivious I've been all my life. I guess you could say I've been like the person in prison who thought that's just the way life is. We all have, to some degree, been trained in fear of the world. Each of us, to some extent, has been seduced and engaged by manipulative behavior. Perhaps that is why most people would rather not admit, talk about, or acknowledge the fact that they intimidate others. They do not face themselves as you are now. Richard was on the edge of emotion surfacing, but could not quite let go. Seeing the pained look in his face, I added, I acknowledge your courage and your willingness to hear new information, Richard. That can be an especially difficult task when it involves looking at our own errors or the errors of the people we cherish. It can be even more difficult when we start to let go of the parts of us that need to be released and healed. And this chapter closes with a key thought. It requires courage to look at ourselves. Having tools makes looking easier and more productive. And so the bottom line conclusion of this chapter on choosing teachers is that, you know, there's an ancient Greek cult called the sophists. Now, if you listen to people express that, talk about that today, they'll say, oh, well, the sophists were the wisdom keepers. Well, actually, that's not exactly true. The sophists were a group of Greek philosophers who traveled around Greece charging big bucks to the parents of the wealthy parents to teach their children how to tell lies and make their lies appear true so that they could control others. That's the sophist. And in every arena, you see this thing of sophistry. Now, one of the obvious arenas, if you walk into a restaurant, most restaurants in America today are totally and completely based in sophistry. What does that mean? It means that you've got a menu there and it says we have food. Well, in many restaurants, I challenge you to even find any food on the menu. Well, I just had that sandwich. Well, what was the sandwich on? Well, it was on bread. Well, what kind of bread? Well, you know, just regular bread. No, what kind of bread? Well, you know, that wonder stuff that makes bodies healthy in 12 special ways? Ah, that's one of the biggest sophisticated tricks there is in the food world. White bread, you know, the millers of bread many, many, many centuries ago discovered that you could have the farmer come in and bring his wheat. You could mill it for him and charge him a fee. And then you could separate out the nutrients, the vitamin E, the vitamin C, the nutrients that were in the wheat, even the bran, and you could sell it to pig farmers at a profit. And you'd be left with this chaff, this leftover waste product called white flour. And if you hired a Madison Avenue advertising firm, they'd make up a thing about this will build your body in 12 ways. And they'll brainwash humans with their sophistry to believe there's actually nutrition in that white poison. White flour, white bread is simply poison. Who would ever put that into the body of a child? Why would you put literally, it is poison. You know, you look at some foods that come out of these fast food so-called restaurants. If you sit it on a shelf, rats won't even eat it. They're smarter than to buy into that sophistry. How crazy is it to have to walk into a restaurant and say, do you have food with nutrition in it? Because what they found is if they take the nutrition out and they leave that weft over what looks like food, and you can put artificial colorings and sugar and flavors and fats and oils to make it seem rich and creamy and apply to the palate or be appealing to the palate. And meanwhile, it's poisoning people. That's sophistry. If we go into government, if we go into churches, if we go into, you know, in every arena, sophists show up. If you're going to engage in a teaching, make sure that the benefits of teaching accrue to you as the student. If the benefits are accruing to the teacher, you're in front of a fraud. Same way as if there's no nutrition in your food, you're in front of a fraud. Same way as if you're in front of a government and there's no support or true assistance, you're in front of a fraudulent government. Same way as if you take a worthless piece of paper, you know, if you look at it, it's called money, but that's sophistry. Actually, a dollar in America is 377 grains of silver. Notice that if you look at, it doesn't say anything about a dollar on it. Oh, it's got a one on it. But what is it? If you read it, it says Federal Reserve note. Now, if you go back just a few decades, you can go into an antique coin collector store, someone that carries antique bills and such, and go back into the 30s and 40s, and you'll see that $1 bill, and it says on it, pay to the bearer upon demand $1. So you've got a piece of paper that if you took it into a bank way back then, that bank would give you 377 grains of silver. They'd give you a dollar. Well, those guys gathered enough of that silver that they were able to buy legislatures to rewrite the so-called laws. If you go find one of those Federal Reserve, or pardon me, not Federal Reserve notes, but an actual dollar bill, that is a bill that represents an actual dollar, you'll see that the legislature of the United States Congress made it illegal to redeem those. So the sophists gathered enough money to pay off the so-called lawmakers to force those silver certificates out of circulation and make them worthless. Who's got the 377 grains of silver? The sophists are called banksters. You know, if you look, I forget exactly what the numbers are, but something like over half of the so-called dollars, the Federal Reserve notes, in existence today have been printed in the last year. And what did they do? They, just like the empty white bread, they just ran a printing press. Or even less costly, they just put digits in a computer. And now they say, well, we've got another $2 trillion in the system. Where did the silver come from? Where's the, you know, if you go back to the Constitution, the founding fathers understood this. The scriptural principle is that no unjust weights or measures in your bag. The founding fathers said, gold in America, or pardon me, only gold or silver whose price is set by the Congress of the United States will be money in America. There is no money under the Constitution in America. They're Federal Reserve notes. So now we have somebody who runs a printing press all day long or puts digits in a computer. Over half of those things in circulation today came into circulation in the last year, and there's nothing behind it. Just like the empty white bread, there's no nutrition. There's no value. Except people believe in it and trade on it. If you go back to the times when people figured out that, oh, this is a scam, you know, you go back to Germany and during the war, you know, it got to the point where you could go and buy, or you could do something. Like there's one particular story about a famous opera singer, and he gets paid for an opera performance, and he gets a wheelbarrow full of money. On the way home, he buys sandwiches with it because tomorrow he won't even be able to buy a sandwich with that wheelbarrow full of money because it will be of even less value tomorrow because of the way they were printing money. And they got us conned into believing that, well, that's no problem. We just rock along. Sooner or later, the piper needs to be paid. And this sophistry exists in every arena. You look at this man, Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, and he said, I come to bring you life more abundantly, and over 15 times he says, fear not. And you got people in his name, sophists, saying, fear is the beginning of God, is the beginning of wisdom. True teacher, false teacher. Have to have the brain cells to understand the difference. And of course, if we keep people dumbed down, they'll buy any story that somebody gives them. And so that's what that particular piece of the puzzle is about. And we are honored and delighted that you're here to be part of this conversation. If you're not using the forgiveness tool, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says start here. It'll walk you through the whole forgiveness process, all substance. By the way, all free. Spend as much time as you want there. Do the worksheets on the website. Print them off on your own printer, copy them. You can go to the App Store in your phone and put in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. I was congratulating Jeannie just a little while ago on the fact that, you know, you think about this idea of forgiveness and how world famous it is and how much it gets talked about and such. And Jeannie has created the only forgiveness app in the world. And right now it's just in English. We'll be working on expanding it into other languages. But if you go to your app store and type in the words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, you can actually learn, engage in, and do the forgiveness process right there on your phone. And, of course, Jeannie just did a major upgrade of it. Just a couple of weeks ago now. Thank you, sweetheart. And we'll be looking at, you know, more upgrades, more levels, more layers, more ways that we can take this work out on a wider and wider scale until we get to the point of critical mass where literally we get to the energetic pattern of understanding actual forgiveness. So that's another sophistry. If you listen to Greek sophists, they'll tell you that forgiveness is about how I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me because, of course, you're the cause of this pain inside of me, but it's okay, I'll forgive you. That's a total sophistry. So believe that crap. The truth is, if you're in pain, your mind is in error. You're carrying an energy that doesn't belong in your energy system. And forgiveness means you reach inside yourself and remove the root of your pain, not you let somebody else off the hook for that pain moving in you. One of the videos that we have is a video called Aramaicisms. And Aramaicisms is the term that I coined to represent our efforts to restore the original meaning of the first century Aramaic words of Yeshua and bring those words into expression and understanding of the world. And, you know, we could go through a list of dozens of different words, and they're all sophistry, you know. Let's think about love. You know, somebody says, well, you know, you go out that door and you go find somebody to love you. You listen to the so-called love songs. Don't you want somebody to love? And it's all sophistry. Love isn't a verb. Love isn't something we can do to each other. If you listen to Vladimir Lenin says, if you want to destroy a culture, just change the meaning of its words. When they changed the word love from a word that represented a state of being, who we are, to something we're going to do to each other, and in some cases into sexual athletics or whatever garbage people are doing with it, It disables the ability of the mind to think logically, reasonably, and rationally. And so reestablishing the original meanings of those words is part of reestablishing the mind on a track so that it serves and functions as the human mind was designed to serve and function. And basically that's what every one of these tools that we've developed over the last 50 years is designed for. So we're honored to be sharing it with you. And Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is quiet in both places. So, and we're going to have to mute because we're in the same room. But anyway, there's nobody in there. So I'll let you go for it.
Okay. Well, let's open the space. And oh, great. Let's say hello.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you guys?
Hey, welcome, young lady. We are well. We're just having fun with our grandkids. And
yes,
my daughter,
that is so amazing. Yes.
It is. It's sweet. So how are you? What's happening in your world?
Oh, you know, I've watched the first video. I've started doing the assignments on my code, whatever.
Yay.
I don't know. I got four codes. Two of them had the same score. The first one is honor for self. The second one is freedom from fear. The third one is stress management. Oh, no, the third one is the first one of the third one is stress management. And the other second part of the third one is honor for truth.
Right.
And
well, that's a profile that when you start shifting those numbers, Cecilia, you're not even going to know you're living in the same world.
I already feel like I'm not living in the same world, just scratching the surface of this, okay? I wanted to, like, text you guys when you were with your family, and I thought, no, you can get on the call. I'm just so incredibly, so many changes are going on in my life and with my daughter, who's in Cincinnati. I'm still in Phoenix. And, we're connecting because of this work. And not only because of it, it is the work we're connecting with. And she's 42 years old. And I've heard you say that it's usually around 40 that people even are interested in this work at all. And
yeah, the 40 years in the desert is up.
Yeah, she's amazing me because she's been sort of, no emotions her whole life, none, zero, no interest in life. She does run a lot of doggy daycare centers since she's 18. She's an entrepreneur, and that totally is great. And yet, you ask her, well, what do you love? If you're tired of that, what do you love? Nothing. I don't have anything, and I don't remember anything, and I don't. And so I started sharing about this work with her, and she listens, and she says, I don't get any of it. And I said, that's okay. And you don't have to listen. But she says, no, I want to listen. I just don't get it. It goes way over my head. So the other day, I was looking at my challenges for the course, and I told her that I had found a movie you guys recommended, and I was going to watch it, but I don't have TV. I mean, I do have one, I never use it, and I'm not signed up for Hulu or Netflix. And she said, let me give you my password, and I said, okay. And I told her the movie is about Mr. Rogers and the editor. And she said, that sounds stupid. She comes at me at suggestions like that, right? That's what she's into. And so I said, that's okay, Michelle, but the reason that I'm watching it is, one, because I have a huge issue of blockage of truth, which I don't even know what it means. And when I looked on the archives on Dr. Rice's website, I found that this movie was about blockage of truth, so I'm going to watch it and learn what it means. And it's on the short synopsis of that particular radio call where I found this movie at, it said that if you don't look within at the truth within, it's going to run your life. And I've had it run my life for too long, and I really want to learn about it. So I told her, I said, remember a couple weeks ago, I called her and I told her my friend has a twin brother. She's in her 70s and he's in Washington. She's here. And they never connected their whole life. They're twins.
Right.
One person hates something about the other. And she found a series that he loved to watch on television. And she said, I'd like to watch that, and we could call each other and connect that way and talk about it. And so they've been going at it, and they finally got this connection. So about 3 weeks ago, I called her and told her that I'd love to have that kind of connection. Is there anything she loves to connect about? She said, nope, I don't have anything. I don't know. I would never know. And I'm like, okay, well, keep your antenna up. And I'll keep mine up. And what came up was this movie. And I said, would you like to watch it and we could talk about it? Because I'm telling her about your work and how blockage of truth, I want to learn what my challenge is. And that if I don't work on it, it's going to take me, it's going to continually run my life. And I wasn't sure she'd watch it. But she did. And it threw me because she didn't tell me she watched it. I just called her and she said, blah, blah, nothing, same old, same old. And I said, okay, well, I guess I got to go. And she goes, I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, my God, did you? Yeah. I said, did you like it? Yeah. I didn't think I would, but I did. And so we're starting to talk. Now I told her about another movie that I haven't watched yet. So this is connecting us with your work. This is your work that we're connecting through. And I'm explaining that this is what I understand that I got to work on, like this other story, which I haven't watched yet, which is called Inside Out. Anyway, so I said, you're off today. Do you want to watch it? And I'll watch it, and we'll talk about what, you know, this work says about it. She says, I'll try. And so, anyway, I've never had this connection with her my entire life, so I'm jumping with joy. That's what I wanted to text you guys.
Cool.
But it's interesting,
one, that way back when you first connected with this work a couple decades ago, she's the one that introduced you, correct? That was the daughter?
No. I got an email from you. I guess you emailed a lot of people that were on Veggie Date because you know, you're trying to find people who would find interest in this work. And that's
right.
How I found out of your work. And that was
I thought your daughter had introduced you. Okay, my mistake. But anyway, one of the things you can do, you know, one of the things Jeannie and I did before we actually met physically was we would watch movies together. She'd watch it. You know, she's in Bristol and I'm in Tennessee. And we'd sit down and start the movie at the same time and watch it. And so that can be another way to approach it and, you know, stop it and have a conversation and, you know, just, you know, see what kind of space is open. That's awesome.
Yes. That's amazing
cool.
that you did that. And I'm doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sweet.
Cool.
Sweet.
So, getting back to the course, it's I have to take a break because I feel like I don't know, my whole mechanics inside of me are being totally rehabbed,
shaken up, and rewired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
take your time.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Take your time. You don't need to race through it. Let yourself go into the process. Breathe and process through what moves and comes up. I mean, you're literally, ultimately, reaching into everything that your culture and your family system have wired you for, and you're rewiring it to be a home faith for love. And that's major work. So take care of yourself, you know. Make sure you've got some candles and spend some time just, you know, in a bathtub of hot water with a candle going and take care of yourself as you let yourself go through
that. Yes, I am taking
care. And
breathe. Yeah, I heard you say something about caring for yourself, so I'm telling myself I'm caring for myself now. Oh, I know,
cool.
The word splits. The word splits. Care something equals care something. Honoring self, care, there's a word split for that, or a word shift, whatever. I can't remember what it is. I wrote it down. That was in the first video.
A mind shifter?
No, it wasn't a mind shift. You call them a word shift or word?
Word links.
Word links? Links. Oh, shit.
Yeah, word links.
There's
right.
a word
yeah.
link for that. Care was in it. I got to go over it
yep.
again because I love that.
Self-care. Yeah, cool.
I have a question
nice.
For you. So I'm
go
practicing these songs. You know, I've got a voice left. My teacher's been on vacation for 2 weeks. I'll have a lesson on Friday. And I literally did not feel like practicing the whole time. I wanted to do this work. But I'm getting back to practicing on the songs that I'm working on, which one is Madness, okay, Alanis Morissette. And I'm like, I know I got to work on my breathing for this work and for singing. So when I found out the word link for stress, which is breathe and cancel, I was singing, and I haven't sung a lot since 2 weeks ago, and I was thinking, I'm stressed, all that negativity needs to be canceled. I'll do worksheets on it, yada, yada. I did 3 worksheets yesterday on it. And then I go, okay, we'll sing again. And I'm like, okay, breathe, cancel. And I'm so intellectual about it that I'm not breathing because I'm thinking it. And then I'm also...
staying in your
cancel.
Head.
Yeah.
Staying in your head is a way of staying out of the pain. And so over time, you'll just be able to drop deeper and deeper into touching what's actually there instead of keeping yourself distant by staying in your head.
Because the stress of this, the thought of singing, and I haven't been there for 2 weeks and all that, and plus I have huge issues about singing anyway, is that my word link was I was bringing up my frustration that I'm not breathing, you know, when I'm singing. So anyway, I tried to use it while I was singing. I don't know if that was a smart idea.
Sounds
but
right
anyway,
on track.
Okay. So I also wanted to ask because when I got my scores for what my evaluation for this intensive is that, of course, truth was number something. I think I forgot what I put down. Okay, wait. Oh, yeah, that was the the second part of the third challenge, honoring truth. And it says, I got an email when she gave me the scores in the top three, and there was a little note that says that my truth score is lower than others, which indicates a tendency for gullibility. Why? What does that mean? And why would that? Because I've been gullible my whole life. Like, that is a huge issue.
Yep.
So what?
Well,
why does that? What is that?
There are three areas in the evaluation that talk about how the mind honors self, others, and truth. And if those three areas aren't balanced, it's kind of like, you know, if you could imagine you've got a wheel, and the wheel, it's got one spoke that's 2 feet long, one spoke that's 3 inches long, and one spoke that's 10 inches long. That wheel's not going to roll very well. In order for it to roll well, you've got to have all the three spokes the same length. Well, it's precisely the same with these three areas, honoring self, truth, and others. So if I don't honor myself, let's say I've got disorders about how bad I am and how wrong I am, and I got message from my power person and I'm broken and I deserve punishment and I deserve to be hated and I deserve to self-hate and I deserve to self-abuse, then that's like that, you know, three-inch spoke on the wheel. And then let's say that I came from a home where truth was really important. Truth, truth, truth. We need the truth. And so that's like the, you know, a 2-foot spoke. The mind is not going to work properly. And so what our assignments are there is to bring those three into balance with each other. If you have a really high love of truth, relative to your love, or pardon me, a really high honor ability to honor truth and a low ability to honor self and others, then what will happen is the mind will blow things all out of proportion. And, you know, it's like trying to roll a wheel with those unbalanced spokes. As you bring the three up high on the scale and in balance with each other, then your mind will show you yourself honestly and truly. It will show you others honestly and truly. But if truth is way out of proportion, then what's going to happen is your mind is going to show you. Let's say you run into a situation where there's a problem and you have a low ability to honor self and a high honor for truth. So the mind's going to show you that problem. It's going to blow it all out of proportion. It's going to make it like, you know, the way people will talk about that profile is they say, oh, yeah, he or she, oh, they make a mountain out of a molehill. That's what that profile does. It skews the way the mind generates its perception. Now, if it's the other way around, let's say there's a low love of truth and a high, or pardon me, a low honoring of truth and a high honoring of self, then something comes along, you know, and I am the culprit, I am doing it, and I am way off base, but my mind, with a low love of truth, won't show it to me. And I'll say, oh, no, 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 I'm perfect in that regard. I don't do that. And so I'll block truth in that case. And so what those assignments are designed is to bring those three up into balance with each other. Does that make sense?
Okay, can I? Yes, something came up for me that literally was my downfall about truth growing up, and I'm trying to get clear about that right now. So I was brought up in a Catholic family, and you lie, you're going to hell, and you're going to never, ever get out, okay? So I didn't understand why I was being promiscuous, okay? I know it was from the sexual abuse, but then I didn't, and I was really miserable. I did not like sex. I didn't want it. I couldn't say no. I thought that's the only attention I'll ever get, you know. So, and I was
right.
I was so. Well, anyway, so as a young
comes from a thought disorder about self. I have no value. Therefore, if I want to feel like I've got value, you know, the only thing you know they want from me is sex. So, that's what I'll do.
And I checked out. I wasn't there. I mean, my body was there. But anyway, I was so miserable that I wanted to tell my family what was going on. And, I mean, I knew I couldn't because they already were beyond abusive. So, but I was so in pain and so horribly miserable about what I was engaged in that I decided to tell them. And my mother hit me in the face. My head hit the wall really hard. And my dad said, "Well, you're older than I am now." And I'm like, I don't even know what that meant. But I never got talked to for another month or two, okay? They just acted like I didn't live there. So I had this, I realized throughout my life, even before and after that, I actually was punished every time I would speak the truth. I mean, whatever. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop telling the truth because it was so ingrained in my consciousness that you have to tell the truth, that I would tell people who would hurt me things, I mean, who I knew were going to abuse me if I said the truth, and I still say it. So what is that? How does that fit into the wheels?
And what I hear you saying is I just keep – I have a thought disorder that I'm supposed to be abused. So I just keep doing behaviors that keep me on the path of being abused. I don't. I honor myself so little that I'm going to do things to perpetuate the abuse.
Okay,
and
but
so
still,
that's just an imbalance in the mind.
That...
And if you do the assignments, in the evaluation, then you'll clean up that part of your mind. You'll clean it out.
And how is that truth, though? How is it me addicted to speaking the truth, even though it hurt me? How, besides that, I have a mind energy of abuse, that I have to be abused. That's who I am. So, but is there an addiction to truth? Like you use drugs to abuse yourself with? So you use truth to abuse yourself with? You use alcohol to abuse yourself with to numb out? I don't get it.
If the underlying dynamic is I deserve to be abused, then no matter what I'm engaged in, I'll find a way to create abuse. When I forgive the thought disorders about self that say I deserve to be abused, then I'll give up the behaviors that draw me into abuse and or draw abuse to me.
But is this truth not the same as the truth in the Course? The honor for truth, is that a different concept of truth than the truth I'm talking about? I get the cleaning up the energy of abuse and all that and bringing it all to me, but I'm still, that word truth is stuck in my head. Like, is it the same truth that's in the blockage that I'm in, or is that, but it's related to the three wheels and honoring self and others?
Well, you know, one of the things you're getting into, and there's a challenge here, and you'll see when we get to what I call the pseudo solutions of the non-being mind, part of the codependence intensive that you're doing. You'll get to that section, and you'll see that there are several what I call the pseudo solutions, and the number one pseudo solution is, if I could just figure this out. And what I hear you right now trying to do is to figure it out and get ahead of it. You can't figure it out, but what you can do is each time it surfaces, you can apply forgiveness and forgive it. And that will resolve.
Forgive figuring it out.
Correct.
Okay.
The drive to
figure
it out.
Since I was a little girl in school and I couldn't, and I told you I couldn't, I sat in the front row all the time, but I couldn't even, like, my brain was gone. Since that first grade teacher obliterated his power person dynamic on me, okay, in front, and told me to come and you know that. So every class I went into, I sat in the front row and wasn't there, though. I had checked out. And so I would go to the teacher afterwards and go, but why? Why is this? And why is pi square this? And why is this? And why is this? I wanted to figure everything out, but it was checked out. I would just catch on to a concept and go, but why? You don't say why. You don't. And they did not like me.
Well, they've probably been trying to figure it out all their lives, too. Again, it's a safe bet. If I've got a room with 100 people and we average their ages out and then subtract 5 years from each of their ages, we'd have the number of years that those people in that room have been trying to figure it out. It's that universal.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, when you've got an adult, you know, you're a little kid, you've got an adult standing in front of you that's still scratching their head. I mean, they're being the adult and the big person, and they've got it all handled, and they're still trying to figure it out. And you come as a kid asking questions that they don't have answers for, they're going to tend to go a little nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. But that was, that was my modus operandi or whatever that word is my whole life.
Right.
Why? I want to figure everything
out
to the everything deep, go deeper. And that's, you're saying, the non-being mind, right?
Correct. And
yeah.
You'll probably do several worksheets on canceling your need to figure it out.
Okay.
That'll be part of your process.
Okay, I will do that. So that's
cool.
My experience so far with the course. And I got clear.
Awesome.
About
right
what
on
I
track.
Did. Thank you.
All right, and
ladies,
any other thoughts for today?
I'm going to watch Inside Out and call my daughter and see if she watched it.
Cool. Great.
Okay.
Film. All right, blessings.
Good.
Take care.
Thanks.
All
right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I believe that Inside Out is literally perhaps the most important event in history. And people say, wow, Michael, that sounds just a little extreme. No, it's not. It takes the core teachings of how the mind works. It takes the core teachings of the man named Yeshua from 2,000 years ago, puts it into a format that a child of 5 can understand it. And it's been put in, I don't even know how many different languages, but available to the majority of the population of the world in an instant. And the majority of the population of the world can watch it over and over and over again and learn from it. That's why I believe it is literally perhaps the most important event in history. And people say, well, what about the birth of Yeshua? It's like, well, that's all well and good, but this takes his teachings and puts it in a format that anybody can understand it and use it. Powerful. And of course, it's got nothing to do with Yeshua. It's just, here's how it works. And that's what Yeshua was doing 2,000 years ago, was showing people how it worked. So if you haven't seen it yet, pick it up and give it a listen. It's pretty profound. In fact, Jeannie, I'm thinking, you know, time for us to watch that again. It's been a couple of years since we've watched it. And probably we probably went and saw it in the theater 6 times the first 2 months it was out, just to be with the process that it created. Powerful. Yes, that's a good idea when we get home. Let's dig it out and watch it with Aria. All right. So, Miss Jeannie, it is now, let's see, we've got
11 minutes.
So if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Calling number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. Great. Let's say hello. Richard.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, welcome, young man. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I just, time got away from me today. I looked up, and I've been meaning to listen and call, you know, the last few days, but I've been busy. So.
Understood.
I was just listening a little bit in the last few minutes here, and that movie that you're talking about, Inside Out, is that available like on Netflix?
It is a Disney movie, so it would be available if you've got Disney Plus.
I
think you can rent it, you know, online on Amazon. I think it's on Amazon. But you can just order it. I've seen copies of it for very little on eBay. And it's a cartoon, but it's profound.
It is. Yeah, it's been a little while since I've seen it, but it is good.
Right.
I've been, you know, working at or just practicing being mindful, being awake, aware of what I'm thinking all the time.
Right.
And it, you know, one thing it's funny I've noticed is that those things that for years I say, I don't want this. That's exactly what I'm doing. And it's,
mm-hmm.
it's so strange to, in a delightful way, to see it, you know. And it's, you know, like for years, I remember thinking, well, I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. You know, I can do it, you know. Well, that's exactly what I really did want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of my maneuvers to, you know, like Joe Dispenza brings up, I love it. He says, you got to stop doing what you've done all your life to get what you want.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's just, it's it's been great doing that.
If you remember from your time at Heartland, one of the things we talked about was regulatory speech, and that if we observe our speech will tell us what's going on in our unconscious minds. And the words that we put the word not in front of or don't, I don't want this to happen, those brain cells are firing, and that's in the unconscious mind, that's what's really going on. That's what's got the highest level of energy and what we quote unquote want. And so really observing our words, you know, Shakespeare says, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. In other words, I'm hiding what I'm creating my life out of, and I'm speaking words unconsciously with no awareness that that's what I'm setting up. So it's important to watch that language for sure.
It is. It is. I've always, for some time now, I say I when I'm talking about a situation. It could be generic, you know, from one person to the next, but I noticed it in me, you know. So
right. Yep.
Yeah. Unless I accept and own it, I can't bless it on its way. You know,
right. Nice work. It's nice to see you keying in and doing your work, Richard. That's awesome. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or die.
Yeah. I hear you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Either give up and let it go, or say, hey, you know, I've made it this far. I can do this. And so, yeah. And you know, of course. I've had many teachers and blessed teachers along the way, and you and Jeannie are right up there. And I try to take some time each day and just be heartfelt thankful, appreciative.
Mm.
I like the word appreciative. I just want to tell you guys, you've been a blessing in my existence, and extremely wonderful. So, yeah, I'm just feeling very well, taken care of.
Well, thank you for saying thank you, and we're honored and delighted to be on your team, and our ultimate goal is to be on the team of every mind, heart, and being on the planet, quite literally.
Mm.
So we're here to hold the space always.
So we can use it, you know, because we only see like one slice of thin, very thin slice of reality pay attention to the rest of, you know, what's energetically going on in our world here. Unless you spend time there, it doesn't really seem real to me.
You know what I mean? I think reflection and tools that you guys have given and are giving is just magnificent. I think this good old Earth is coming into a new era, and I just am very deeply appreciative and thankful for it all.
Well, you know, Richard, so, whenever we're going to be heading to...
Pardon?
Give him just a minute. His phone just disconnected, and he is dialing back in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got a doggy and a couple of kitty cats here that were listening intently.
My apology. I just accidentally disconnected. But anyway, we're heading to Heartland, and, you know, when I think about you, I really appreciate the time that you spent out at Heartland and some of the things that you got accomplished in the Heart Center. That kitchen setup is really awesome, and the work you did in our home was just fabulous. And so you are appreciated. It's a mutual thing, Richard. You are deeply appreciated for that support you gave us and how you upgraded the facilities there. So thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, you know, for some reason, night before last or so, I was thinking about floors. I was wondering how is that linoleum floor in the kitchen held up? Is that, you know, is a weird
perfectly
thing to just come up to mind? Good.
Yep.
I have
kitchen.
Very,
you know, the ovens, the floor. I mean, it's awesome.
I have some very warm and fond memories of working there and doing that. It was enriching.
Well, thank you for the assistance in enriching us. And it certainly, you know, if it weren't for people like yourself, we wouldn't be nearly as far along in taking this on a global scale as we are. So mucho, mucho gracias.
Yes, well, we all do so much better with each other than apart, you know.
We're definitely in this together, aren't we?
Yep. Yes, we are. We really are.
Cool. Well, it's really nice to hear you doing so well, Richard, with a smile in your voice. And you seem like you're living, you know, the last couple of times we've talked to you, you're living on a whole new level as a result of the work that you've been doing. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, one phrase that I heard, it was an old-timer, it was a YouTube presentation, but it was from an older fellow. I forget his name now, but he used the term parenting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that really just struck a chord. I said, God, that's it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Taking care of you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if our parents weren't there to be the space of love, we can wake up and start to do that very thing.
Yeah.
And that love is a nutrient that really empowers us to grow. That's my take on it. So nice work, my friend.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. You guys have a great afternoon, great day.
All right, it's in the plan. Hold a space for us driving. Hold a blessing for us. And we're down to the last minute or so, so I'm just going to say, everybody, thank you for joining us. And have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.